morning.
Did you guys sleep well? How many of you guys went to bed later than midnight? Oh. I'm going to avoid the temptation of telling you how bad that is for you. All right. So this morning, before we pray, and every morning hereafter, yesterday morning was a little bit different, but this morning and every morning hereafter, we are going to be looking at a different aspect of prayer to help broaden our viewpoint of the purpose and power of prayer. Make sense, guys? Take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to 1 Peter. For those of you who didn't bring your Bible, no worries, but I would love if you would bring your Bibles the rest of the week. You are going to need them. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Let's go ahead and say a word of prayer before we start. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for this chance to have a week of prayer, for all the blessings that you've given to us. I pray now as we enter into a time of communion with you and learning a little bit more about your key of prayer, I pray that you will bless our time and that you will give us understanding as we need it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." What kind of picture does that bring to your mind when you think about that? You're probably not thinking that the devil's sitting in a chair, kind of waiting for you to come up and talk to him and chat a bit. He's seeking whom he may devour, roaming this earth constantly, consistently, looking for someone who's not paying attention. If you think about lions for just a minute, you will know that lions don't pick on the strong. Now, I'm not talking about how they look, because as you've seen, or maybe you haven't seen, I've seen how they've overtaken elephants that are like, you know, 10 times the size as them. But it wasn't about how strong the actual animal was. It was how, whether or not they were paying attention as to whether or not they were going to be overcome. And so lions don't pick on the strong, they pick on the weak. And here we see that the devil is doing that very same thing. He's looking for someone who's weak, who's not paying attention, who's neglecting to watch. Listen to this quote taken from a chapter entitled "The Privilege of Prayer" in the book Steps to Christ. Awesome, awesome book. It says, "The darkness of the evil one encloses those who neglect to pray. The whispered temptations of the enemy entice them to sin, and it is all because they do not make use of the privilege that God has given them in the divine appointment of prayer. Why should the sons and daughters of God neglect and be reluctant to pray when prayer is the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse where are treasured boundless resources of omnipotence? Without unceasing prayer and diligent watching, we are in danger of growing careless and deviating from the right path. The adversary seeks continually, constantly, 24/7, 365 days of the year. At every second, he's looking for just the moment that you become weak. He's continually seeking to obstruct the way to the mercy seat that we may not, by earnest supplication and faith, obtain grace and power to resist temptation." Pretty crazy, huh? Think about it like this way, guys. If your friend took you over and said, here's a safe right here, has $80 million in it. It's all yours. Here's the key, or the code, whatever's most applicable. Here's the key. It's all yours. Don't worry about robbing it. It's completely yours. You're free to it. Here's the key. Do what you want with it. See you later. How many of you would just stand there and go, that's cool? Okay. That's funny. Most of you would break into it right away. You'd be like, $80 million. I never have to work again. I don't have to worry about my jobs, I don't have to worry about my bills, everything's taken care of, I am living the good life. For those who would not take that opportunity, you might look and be like, you would label someone who doesn't take an opportunity to open that. You would label them all different kinds of names, so it would boil down to, you're completely unintelligent, you've lost your mind, here's $80 million, it's all yours, you have the key, all you have to do is unlock it and it's yours. In the same way, we've been given the key to unlock heaven's storehouse. You think $80 million is a lot of money. You just wait to see how much the Lord owns. He owns this earth, he owns the universe, he owns much, much more than that. The punchline, guys, is that prayer is a powerful tool to help you keep on top of your game. It's to help you in this life, in this world, where many traps are set for you. You may think it's cliche to say that this world is is set with traps, that it's a landmine, but it's not. The Lord, okay, when you've had a significant other, maybe some of you will be able to see what I'm talking about here, but when you have a significant other, you study that person so well, you spent so much time with them that you know, eventually you spent so much time with them that you know, just by a look on their face, you know either something's wrong, you know something's great, you know that they're like smirking, so they must be, you know, hiding something from you. You know, because you studied that person, right? In the same way, the devil has studied you a million times more than that. The devil cannot read your mind. He cannot see into you like the Lord can. But he has studied you so well that he has come up with the perfect plan, the perfect temptations that he knows you cannot resist. He has customized that package for you so that when you neglect to pray, he can move in on you and close you with those temptations, and you're helpless. You're done. Just like a lion who finds an animal who's not paying attention, they're done. They're over with. They're history. It's done for them. It's too late. And if you think about prayer, you know, it's not just a cool thing to do and chuck in the trash on your way out the front door. Prayer is not to be a ritual, a form of godliness, an empty sort of hollow thing that you do just because your friends are around or whatever. Lawrence was a picture-perfect poster child last night of what happens when you fake it. Prayer is not just something that's just cool to do. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle change. If you think about the concept of dieting for a second, you will, how many people do you see remain successful after completing a random, spontaneous, maybe 10-day diet? Years later, how successful were they really? Probably not very many did you see very successful, but people who made a lifestyle change and changed their habits, years later you come and see them, and how are they doing? They're doing great. Why? What was the difference? The difference was that one person had a spontaneous need. Maybe they felt heavy because of Christmas dinner or something. They wanted to lose that weight, and so they did a spontaneous diet. But then they went back to their ways when it was all over with, and they lost that, and they gained back that weight and more. And probably the next year you'll find them that they're twice as heavy. But the person who made the lifestyle change, you find them years later just fine. The reason why was because that the person who changed their lifestyle had a life-changing experience. They didn't just do a spontaneous diet. They made a dedication to stay on top of things, not for just 3 days, not for 3 weeks, not for 3 months, but for the rest of their life. And it's in the same way with prayer. If you just want to pray and just call on God when your friends are around and it looks like a cool thing to do, you can do that. Go for it. Maybe you think that you'll look bad if you don't pray at least, you know, a little. Or maybe the reason why you pray is because you want things from God for your own self-interest, your own selfish ambitions. You can do that. You can do that. That's your choice. But guys, it's not going to last. Just like Lawrence said last night, it didn't last for him. It was a form of godliness, perfectly hollow on the inside, and when the wrong moment hit, it was all over for him. But guys, it's not only will you drop it like an average girl drops a diet, but you'll be increasingly in more danger of the devil encroaching upon your life, finding just a moment when you become weak enough that he can overcome you. Why should the sons and daughters of God be reluctant to pray when prayer is the key? Why should you be reluctant to open that safe when you've been given the key and all that money is yours? Why? We are enticed to sin all because we do not make use of the privilege that God has given us in prayer. This is a use it or lose it deal. You know, they say fake it till you make it. In this case, that doesn't work. You need to use it. God forbid you lose it. But don't fake it, guys. Don't fake it. Because you will end up much worse in the long run. A 14-year-old girl, Allison, she experienced the prayer room at Army, just like Lawrence did. Now, guys, when we say a prayer room, what happens is when they go to these camps and camp meetings and stuff, they have a room, like say that room was used as a prayer room. The reason why they call it a prayer room is just because they dedicated that spot so that people can come in and out as they please and no one's going to distract them. Wherever you pray is your prayer room. But for this girl, she went to Army Bible Camp, they had a prayer room, and here's what she had to say. She said, "The prayer room was the most amazing experience. I was raised a Seventh-day Adventist. I've always attended church camps and meetings. I grew up knowing our doctrines and professing to have a relationship with God. However, something was always missing. It was never real for me. You guys have mentioned, you've come up to me a few times this week, and I've heard one word consistently, and it's make it real. Make it real. She said this wasn't real for me. After coming to the prayer room, I realized why I had no power in my life. I was missing prayer. I was missing a genuine, a real, powerful life, a prayer life. After experiencing this in the prayer room, it made me want more. I went from a 5-minute prayer life one day, and this was Wednesday. Thursday, she prayed for 1 hour in the prayer room. And Friday, she was the girl I was talking about yesterday that prayed for 8 hours. Now, like I said, not everyone does that, but this girl found the key. She said, I was so inspired by it that I decided to email my youth pastor and tell him what I had experienced. And now I'm starting not one, but two prayer groups in my area. I love the prayer room because there I'm able to experience what I have lacked for so many years. And being there encouraged me to make this a daily part of my life. 14-year-old girl. She found the key. She found that we all have the key, but she found it. She realized that she had done nothing with it. And when she used it, it changed her life. And guys, I would challenge you not to just make this a daily part of your life, but every moment of every day. Because it's kind of like when you're on, like I said earlier, you have a significant other, someone that you care about a lot. You can stay on the phone and not say anything, and it's not awkward because you've developed a relationship with them that you just love being on the phone with them. You love being around their presence. And you're not obligated to say anything while you're on the phone. But if you want to say something, you're free to say something. However, when you hang up the phone, if you decide you want to say something later, you have to go through the process of calling him all over again. It's the same way with God. If, you know, the Bible says pray without ceasing, that doesn't mean stay on your knees 24/7. Because if you did that, there's actually a quote that says, I'm majorly paraphrasing, but it says if you were to stay on your knees 24/7, you would actually lose your life in the respect of you would have nothing to pray for anymore. You would have no reason to pray because when you pray like in this room and you walk out that door, you're about to experience what you just prayed for. You're about to experience by faith, because of your faith, the Lord is going to answer your prayer. And later when you come back to pray, you have something to praise the Lord about. But if you were to stay on your knees 24/7, you'd have nothing to pray for. You'd run out of because you're not experiencing what the Lord can do for you. And in the same way, we are called to pray without ceasing, but that means, just as I said, when you're on the phone and you're free to talk as much as you want, when you hang up the phone, you have to call back. It's the same with God. If you keep that constant communion with him, the devil cannot come to you. He sees that your connection is strong. He knows that he's going to fail because the Lord is there. But when you hang up the line with the Lord, that's his opportunity. You're a fair game, and he will encroach upon you. So, guys, as we pray this morning, as you go out of this room, you're going to experience what the Lord is doing for you. And for those of you who don't, you know what? For those of you who are sitting here thinking, there's probably at least a couple of you who are saying, you know what? I was required to come in this week of prayer, but I don't buy it. For those of you who are thinking that, like I said yesterday, whether you believe it or not, God is working in your life, and someday you will see. And by God's grace, you'll see sooner than later. Hopefully it's not when it's too late. But whether you see it today, whether you see it in 20 years, or God forbid, when you see it when the Lord comes, and you see how the Lord led in your life, you will know. But I hope that you were able to see it this week in your life. I believe that God is going to do some powerful things on this campus. And I believe, I see the students here, and I see your willingness to learn. And that is what it's all about. I mean, I'm not just speaking to you guys, I'm speaking to myself. This is a day-by-day process. And it's not something that you ever perfect, but it's something that, it's like Enoch walked with God, is because he kept that constant communion and the devil could not overtake him as he tries to overtake us every day. Right now, we're going to pray, but we're going to do it differently than yesterday. Same concept, but I'm going to break you guys up into groups. Now, your groups are going to stay the same for the rest of the week. And thank you guys, by the way, for the leaders who came to me yesterday. Oh man, I owe you guys so much. I appreciate your willingness to lead. And what we're gonna do is I'm gonna have the leaders stand right now. And you guys are going to find a leader and you're going to join that group. And when your leader has found that there's a minimum of 10 people, a maximum of 13, let's keep it quiet guys for just a second. You guys gotta understand this. When you guys have 10 to 13 people, the group will be closed. You guys will sit down, and that will be your group for the rest of the week. And every time we go to pray, you will find your leader, and you'll find your space, and then we will pray. So at this time, I would ask that you quickly and please quietly, because we're in the sanctuary, find a group leader and join your group. All right, guys, looks like we are ready to start. You guys are just going to be a couple minutes over, so don't slaughter me. This is really important, guys. Yesterday, I had a lot of students come up to me and say, wow, that was so cool. Like, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, or it was like a real experience. And today, we're going to be praying for a little bit longer. So it's going to go by so fast, you guys don't even know it's 20 minutes. But let's go ahead and start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this week of prayer. Thank you so much for the students that are here that have been able to come to UCA this year, for the blessings which you've given us, provisions that you've made for us, even the little things. Lord, now as we enter into a time of prayer with you, we're entering into adoration. I pray that you'll bring to memory those things that you've done for us and help us to think little. Given to each one of us. And I pray, Lord, as we enter into this time of confession, sometimes it's going to be really hard to recall the things that we've done that have transgressed against you. Maybe we've done some things and not even realized how we've affected you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would convict us of the things that we need to confess. And for those things that need to remain private or to one person, I pray that you'll convict us to do just that. So bring to mind, Lord, now, what we need to confess to you. Our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And now as we enter into a time of supplication, Lord, I pray that we would not underestimate your power, underestimate how much you can do, and that we would ask things according to your will, things that would honor and glorify you, things that would be for the best interest of your service. be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Lord, we trust in faith that you will answer these prayers according to your will. And as we enter into this final time of Thanksgiving, Lord, help us to find more to praise you about, and not to just look for what you've done for us in the past, but to know by faith what you're going to do for us in the future. Possible with God, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Lord, be with us as we go throughout the rest of this day. Help us not to forget the experience that we've had with you during this prayer session, and help it not to just end here, but help us to stay in constant communication with you, to keep that line open so that we may be able to have the power to resist the temptation. Go with us now, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.